Facts are facts. Like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Ah, Mike Tomlin, the dulcet tones of Mike Tomlin. What more could we possibly ask for as we get closer and closer to the start of the NFL season? Wowzers, it's coming quick, you know. On September 7th, Thursday, September 7th, we will have the season opener between the Lions and the defending world champion Kansas City Chiefs. I wonder if anyone's willing to go out on the limb this year and say that the Chiefs, they're going to stink. In fact, they're not even going to win the AFC West. Any takers? Any takers anywhere? Jay told us last year that, in fact, the Chiefs were not to be slighted. They were not to be overlooked. Do it at your own peril. And boy, did they stick it to the rest of the AFC. Not just their own division, but the actual conference as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Now, we have some business to attend to, and I'm going to let producer Jay explain because I have no idea what's going on or why or when or how. Something to do with Survivor Island and how it's not yet up and running. Jay, it's all yours. Take it away.
I just have to, change my password because I got out of my account. So the one that I'm in now on my
CBS page. Why did you get out of your account?
I don't know. It's just been about a year since we've done it, so I haven't looked at it. And I went to go activate it and put the post up, and the page that I'm logged in now only had this one version of our island, which wasn't our main version of our island. But people are in it, and picks have been made, so I'm not sure where this one came from. So I just have to find the right one. And if not, if I can, then I'd have to just post a new one, and I'll post that link, and everyone will just sign up, and we'll have a new island. But I'm hoping just to reactivate that older one.
By resetting your password?
Yeah. So I'm using old producer Dave's account, which is where, like, so this was never, like, mine to start with. I never created it. I just took it over, so that's why it's a little fishy.
Mm-hmm. All right. Something to do with resetting a password. All I heard was wah, 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 wah. Excuses. You promised.
I went to do it.
And why didn't you retry resetting the password?
I did. I just tried it and I didn't get my thing in time. So I don't know. I had to come into work.
Wait until the last second, I see. I got it. Okay. Well, we'll give producer Jay another chance, even though he did promise. And I promised too. So now I look like an idiot. But it's totally fine. It's going to be totally fine. We will attempt to have that done for you in the next 12 hours, I guess. I don't know. How long do you need to reset the password?
I'm not sure. I'll figure out when I get home.
You're going to wait until the last second again?
Probably not.
Okay, good. All right. No coming into work until that's done. Unless you're going to do it here, and then in which case, that'd be okay. Yeah, no, I dare you. Please, feel free to stay home from work. Just on a rando reason. So producer Jay is going to take care of that, and we'll get you up and running in Survivor Island, even if we have to reset and start over again, or just reset a password, you know. So you want to check that link on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or at least prepare. Also on our Facebook page. by Labor Day, which will just be a couple days from the start of the NFL season. We hope to have a brand new video for you on our YouTube channel. And that would be our Stairway to Seven. Teams that will make the playoffs this year that did not make the playoffs last year. Because half the playoff field, roughly half the playoff field, turns over every season. And so if that's the case, then we're expecting seven new teams out of the 14 or somewhere. Maybe it's six, maybe it's eight, but it's real competitive in the NFL. And there's no guarantee that you're going to see the same teams in. And you may see a team like Philadelphia go from being a surprise wild card in 21 to being a division champion of one of the toughest divisions in football in 22 all the way to the Super Bowl. Right, so just to jog your memory. I don't know why you jog it. I was doing some jogging on Monday. I don't know why you jog it, but you do. We're going to jog it. Your Buffalo Bills and your Miami Dolphins made the playoffs last year out of the AFC East. In the North, it was the Bengals and it was the Ravens. In the South, the Jaguars overtook the Titans, who finished up the season with seven straight losses. Oh, and actually, this is how bad the AFC South was. It was the Jags who won five in a row. The Colts and the Titans both wrapped up the season on seven straight losses. That's just brutal. So the Titans no longer have a grip, a death grip on the AFC South. Now the Jaguars are the team to beat. And then in the West, Chiefs and Chargers both made the playoffs. So there are your seven teams out of the AFC. Half of those are likely to turn over. Who will they be? In the NFC, we had three teams from the NFC Beast get into the postseason. So the Giants for the first time in a long time, the Cowboys, and then the Eagles, who went to the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. The Vikings won the North, and they won it handily by four games. The NFC South was won by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who had a record below 500. In fact, every team in the NFC South was below 500. 8-9 won the division last year. Panthers, Saints, Falcons, all 7-10. I suppose you can call it competitive. I think it was until week 16 that all four of the teams were still alive, but all three of the teams that finished tied for second. That's a nice way of saying it, a polite way of saying it, that the whole division stunk when the three of them are tied for second behind the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah, the entire division was still alive for the title in the NFC South in week 16. And then we had two playoff teams out of the West, the Niners, who used four quarterbacks, one for each of the losses that they accumulated last year. That's nuts, right? No team should ever use four quarterbacks and only have four losses. That defies the logic. And then the Seahawks, Geno Smith's year of redemption, comeback player of the year, Geno Smith. Okay, so if those are your teams, then seven of them roughly will not make the playoffs coming up this year. A lot of it depends on injuries, of course. We've got some really stiff schedules, especially in the stacked AFC. And so we'll do that question as we get closer to the start of the year. But that'll be our YouTube video, our Stairway to Seven. We'll count down the seven teams that we think will be new into the playoffs this year, whether we believe it or not. Here's what I'm wondering, though. Even as I look at the standings from last year and I think about the Arizona Cardinals, who are starting Josh Dobbs, we think, in week number one. Who will be the last team in the NFL to get a win? Which team will be the last one in the NFL to get its first win? I actually don't remember who it was last year. I know the Chicago Bears wrapped up the season with 10 straight losses. They couldn't buy a win. They obviously ended up with the overall number one pick, though they traded it away to Carolina. We also had six straight losses for the Jets to wrap the season. Not likely to happen with Aaron Rodgers on the field, though, again, there's no guarantees. Which NFL team will be the last, or if you want to give me a couple, which NFL teams will be the last to pick up wins this season? I'm trying to think if there's another direction I would go besides Arizona, because I do not think highly of Arizona. They're in a definite rebuild. I'd have to go and look at all the schedules for week number one. I would think the Colts will struggle too. We'll see what happens with Jonathan Taylor. But I would think that the Colts, with a brand new quarterback who's really raw, and the questions on the offensive line. Now, they think they've rebuilt it. They think it'll be better this season, but there's no guarantee. So I think the Colts might also be one of the last teams to get a win. I don't know if I believe in the Raiders, but I do like Jimmy Garoppolo. And I know he's familiar with Josh McDaniels. And so that's helpful. Not to mention, they do have Josh Jacobs back in camp. So he has signed a reworked deal for 1 year. It's funny how deadlines are not really deadlines in pro sports. He signed a 1 year reworked deal in which he can make up to $13 million. This is the franchise tag deal. But the Raiders have made some provisions and added some options for him to make up to $13 million with incentives. So not that dissimilar from what Saquon Barkley did with the Giants to finally get into camp. So Josh Jacobs is back. Jimmy Garoppolo's healthy. I don't know that I'm... It's not really about Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm just not sure I'm a big believer in the rest of the weapons that they... Devontae Adams is certainly a number one. Can Jacoby Myers attract attention away from Devontae Adams so he isn't constantly seeing double teams? Austin Hooper, can he be a viable option at tight end where Darren Waller was traded? So I have question marks about the Raiders. Definitely have question marks about the Broncos, not just because of Russell Wilson in the Sean Payton system for the first time. So this will be his third different offensive system, his third different adjustment in 3 years. Right? So he went from Pete Carroll, the only system he'd known in Seattle, to then a Nathaniel Hackett-led Denver Broncos squad, to now Sean Payton. That's a lot of adjusting. And remember, the Broncos have been hit severely with injuries at wide receiver. Big time. Jerry Jeudy is out for at least a week, but he's not the only one. They've lost guys for the season. They've lost guys for a few games at least. They're very thin at receiver. So the Broncos might be one of the last teams in the NFL to get a win. I actually think Houston could steal a couple. I really am high on D'Amico Ryans. It doesn't mean they have it all put together. They start out on the road at Baltimore. Then they play Colts at home. Then on the road at the Jaguars. Steelers at the Falcons. The Saints, and then at the Panthers. So they've not only got their own weak AFC South, but they've also got games against the NFC South, which is helpful. So I think I'm going Arizona. Ooh, I might go Atlanta too. Arizona, Atlanta, Denver, and Indy as being among those last teams to earn a win this season. What do you think? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. Which team will be the last to get a win in 2023? Jay just put up a spot on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. I retweeted, so it's out there now. We'll get it up on Facebook as well. Facebook After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I don't know if I'm high on the Rams either. See, these are all question marks. And when I say I don't know, it's because I could guess. Like, I just guessed which teams will come out of the gate slowly. You know when you watch a horse race and a horse gets either kind of twisted up in the starting gate, or when he comes out of the starting gate, he stumbles. That always scares me to death. I'm worried about the horse and his health. Or he just doesn't break quickly and is rapidly left in the dust, which is tough, right? Because then you're trying to make up ground. You've already got horses that are at full speed or close to it. So if you're using that horse race analogy, which are the few teams that are going to stumble out of the gate and then struggle to find their footing? Which NFL team will be the last to get a win in 2023? That's what we're asking. Not going to be the case for Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions. We were high on them last year. They did not let us down after, what was it, 5 straight losses? Then they ended up with a surge through the second half. I could be wrong about the 5 straight losses, though. Just know they played their best football at the end. And that's the foundation, the springboard for 2023. But don't tell Dan Campbell that they're the team to beat, because he'll respond with hype train.
The hype train.
Also, he's an emotional man. He's not a lunatic. He tries to tell us that. But he's very emotional. He wears his heart on his sleeve. And he doesn't like having to deliver bad news to players who did not make the 53-man roster.
There's nothing worse than watching guys just give everything they've got, bust their rear, you know, the blood, the sweat, all of it. The angst, the, you know, the good, the bad. And that's hard, you know. It's hard to look them in the eye and tell them, you know, that, hey, this is as far as it goes for now. But there'll be a number of guys, too, that you didn't make it on this, maybe the 53, but we want you back here, you know. And if it doesn't work out somewhere else or somebody's not willing to claim you, there's a reason why we want you back, because we feel like you can help us. And, I mean, our practice squad players play. I mean, they play during the year, whether it's injury or special teams or, I mean, there's a good chance you're going to end up playing at some point this year if you're with us. So, but it's tough. I mean, there's nothing fun about this.
See what I mean? He's invested. His heart is in it. It's not just about his mind or about the job or the paycheck. Nah, he actually cares, which is one of the reasons that I really like Dan Campbell as an addition in Detroit. And it's clear that the players themselves follow him. They follow his coaching staff. We know Pete Carroll is a guy who is always rah-rah and pretty emotional. But underneath that exterior, he's my way or the highway. He's tough on his players. He has high expectations, and he can coach up a water bottle and a pair of socks. Sometimes what you see is not what you get. And with Dan Campbell, I think that we're getting more and more into the layers of the coach, right? So initially he just came across like a goofball because of the whole bite their kneecaps thing. But now not only can we see that he's intense, he's tough, he's supportive of his players to be sure, he cares about them individually, but he's also got a plan. He's a man with a plan. So don't even try to give me that Detroit is one of the last teams to win a game in 2023, because I will not believe it.
I feel wind underneath my freaking wings, man.
Yep, he's all about it. He's all about being the most unique character this side of Mike Tomlin. And it's neck and neck, I'm telling you. And Mike McDaniel, too. Who are the last teams to post wins in 2023? You can find the post either on Twitter, A-Law Radio, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Coming up a little bit with Kirby Smart as his team attempts a three-peat. Yeah, that's hard to do. It's hard to do in any sport, but in college football, it's never been done. Did someone say Mike Tomlin? Oh, we're going to have a little bit from Mike Tomlin later on in the show. Coco Gauff has a 3-set match to survive the first round in New York, but it came on a very special occasion. We are mixing and matching here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
What do you have to say to people who maybe say that Georgia's schedule is a cakewalk?
This is Matt Spiegel of 670 The Score in Chicago, and my podcast, The PBP, Voices of Baseball, is all about the art and craft of play-by-play. Catch up on episodes with Joe Davis, Joe Buck, and many more. Then something crazy happened along the way. I did a weekend of Cubs-Cardinals on the radio, so now conversations are enriched with feedback and advice from Jason Benetti, Boog Shambi, and others to come. The PBP, Voices of Baseball. I bring you the people who bring you the game. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And come play it. I mean, I'd love to invite any team in the country who wants to play in the SEC. Come right ahead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, there are certainly plenty of teams, schools that are joining the SEC, not necessarily on Kirby Smart's invite. Yeah, it's not a cakewalk. I mean, it may not have had the year that you're used to or that we're used to in 2022 with the same depth from top to bottom. But you give it 12 months and the SEC can once again be the toughest in college football. Though we'll see. Is it the Big Ten? Is it the SEC? Maybe this year the Big 12, although still in this stage where it's reforming like an amoeba, right? It's taking a new shape. We'll see who has the dominant or the title of best conference in college football. But regardless of where the conference is and where the conference dominance lies, Georgia is the two-time defending national champion and could be the first team going back 90 years, completely different landscape in college football then, right? So modern day college football, we've never had a three-peat. You have to go back nearly 90 years for a school that won three titles in a row. But Kirby Smart does not want to talk about that, doesn't want to consider it. In fact, he says we can't focus on it. And I certainly understand that, right? Because if that's your goal, you're looking so far in the future that you're not focused on what's happening right in front of you, and you're liable to trip. A little bit like, well, at least this is my philosophy. My grandfather always taught me to look at the sidewalk, to keep your eyes on the ground where you're walking. Now, it doesn't mean right below your feet. You're looking out in front of you, maybe 6 feet or so, because if you aren't paying attention to what's on the ground, you're liable to trip. Maybe I took it after him, right? Because I definitely am one of those who can trip if I'm not paying attention. Actually, when I was running on Monday afternoon, I saw the branch. I thought I ducked under it far enough and yet still did not. I guess I'm taller than I thought. But I got too high up near the branch and the branch knocked my hat off my head. That was fun. I'm sure anyone driving by thought, you idiot. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So Kirby Smart, tight-lipped, not allowing the conversation about a three-peat in the locker room.
I just don't think you can make it about that, because the minute you do that, you open yourself to distractions, added pressure. What if it doesn't happen? What are you playing for? I mean, there's just so many things that I just don't believe philosophically in doing that, because what the previous two teams did has no bearing on this team. It has no bearing. Our focus is UT Martin and really us. And that's going to be true whoever we play. Is we have to remain focused on us, and we have to, like I said, set a standard of the way this team's going to practice in a game week. And that's kind of like being where your feet are, because you don't inherit practice habits. You don't inherit standards. You set them, and they change year to year, and you got to kind of acknowledge them. So that's where our focus is.
Heavens, that was some rough audio. Okay, but hopefully you heard Kirby Smart there saying you obviously can't focus on what's to come. You can't look so far ahead that you miss what's in front of you. And he says, I don't believe philosophically in playing for the three-peat. Because what those two teams did has nothing to do with 2023 and the squad we've got right now. though, if we're talking streaks, Georgia's got 17 wins in a row and 33 of 34 with the Saturday opener of the 23 season. All right, you have to go back to the 30s for a team to win three national championships in a row, but such a different landscape and obviously multiple iterations of the system. Now, they didn't play for the championships then. It was more about rankings. You've had multiple teams attempt to win three national titles consecutively, including Alabama in the last decade, but it has not happened. Let's talk to Jim, who's in Georgia. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Well, when Georgia won, we were sitting there, and there was a guy, Ohio State fan, and his brother, Ohio State fan, Michigan guy with him. And there was a Golden Gopher guy. And that Golden Gopher guy, when one of the pundits said something about Georgia's talent and three-peat possibly this year, he let us know, us dog fans, real quick. We did three. And I said, I don't know how long ago it's been, but I guess you did. So they... That was way back when Minnesota did it sometime.
Really? In the 1930s?
I'm not sure when it was, but
I just said it was in the 1930s.
Then I've heard it on since then about, you know, Georgia chasing Minnesota.
No, it's a completely different system. First of all, there weren't nearly as many schools back then that fielded college football teams. Second of all, they didn't have the playoff or the BCS or even a system that would crown a champion.
They used to vote.
I don't know how they did it in the 30s. But in the 30s, you're not talking about having these games on TV all the time. You're essentially talking about whatever's in the newspaper or whatever comes word of mouth. So it's not modern-day college football and certainly not modern-day system.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's when Princeton was good, huh?
Oh, gosh, I have no idea. I wasn't around in the 30s, nor did I study college football history.
Used to play some of the Ivy League schools.
All right. I didn't study college football in the 30s. I love that you call it back in the day. Were you around in the 30s, Jim?
I'm 60, but no, I wasn't around then. But, yeah. I mean, I do know a pretty good bit about football and stuff.
Yeah, me too, but not about the 30s.
Not more of a Bear Bryant guy than a Nick Saban, if I have to root for Alabama, because a friend of mine in high school was in Bear Bryant's last recruiting class. And Well, you can get some, I mean, I read one of the books my buddy had, and he said about a player on the team or anything, the distraction is like a cancer. You have to cut it out.
I like it. I would say you don't have to pick between Bear and Coach Saban. You can be a fan of both.
If both men were equal and about the same age nowadays, I think I'd rather, with the standards of Bear Bryant, my kid play for Bryant.
All right. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. Enjoy the start of the season, sir.
Okie doke.
Okie doke.
Have a good one.
You too. Going to hear myself in the background. That's always fun. Just in case you ever plan on calling a radio station or radio network like CBS Sports Radio, we are on a delay, which means that what you're listening to in the background is 30 seconds after it's actually been said. So it makes for some awkward audio if you don't turn that radio down. All right, you're already answering. This is NFL now. Which team will be the last to get a win in 2023? Let's run through some of your answers here. First on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Daryl goes with the Chicago Bears. Kurt says the Rams. Rick, I got to go with the Patriots. First 4 weeks are brutal. Let's see. Michael says the Seahawks. Oh, that's interesting. Elmer goes with the Jets. Also interesting, though their first 4 weeks are tough, too. And then Demo goes with either Arizona or Houston. So those are your answers on Facebook. Let me see if I can find some answers on our Twitter page real quick. A few of you weighing in. So, yeah, After Hours CBS is our show Twitter. CJ says it won't be the Falcons. Panthers should be on the list. Poor Bryce Young. The O-line is terrible. Dave goes with the Packers. And then, some not just snarky, but I would suggest envious language here from another tweet. If there's any justice in this world, the Jets and Aaron Rodgers will be the last to get a win in 2023. All right, we'll do a little... did someone say Aaron Rodgers? We'll do a little QB news coming up next. Thanks for hanging out with us. Always on Twitter and Facebook. We look forward to you participating. And man, there's so much on the line as we get to NFL season. It's a different kind of buzz, peeps.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Murray back to throw. And it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness, it's tossed. Caught it.
Dapper from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it! Touchdown, L.A.!
Burrow back to throw, looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone. Oh, he's got it!
Yes!
Touchdown! Joe Burrow and the Bengals!
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught! Touchdown, Kansas City!
And off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it, end zone, touchdown! Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
This portion of the show is brought to you by our QB News partner, Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Who is the last team in the NFL to get a win this year? We'll take your suggestions. Find our post on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Our phone number 855-212-4227, but not right now, because you may not like all the chatter about Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. But there is certainly a ton of buzz in New York for a good, young, solid team, right? So both the offensive and defensive rookies of the year were on the Jets last year. They've got a great defense, a real solid defensive line. Aaron Rodgers, could he be the missing piece for the Jets? Robert Saleh.
The guy glows in the dark.
No, he doesn't. So Rodgers, though, played in the preseason for the first time in 5 years, and he is all smiles as the opener approaches.
I think we're ready. I think we are. Next week will be an important week. It'll obviously be some tough decisions with the roster, but just to work in some other things as we transition now to the final 53 that we're going to be doing every single week. We've held back a few things that we've been taking notes on, kind of in the quarterback room, stuff we want to put in this week coming up. So we'll put the kind of final touches in the offense, but I feel good about where we're at.
Next week being this week, as cuts are being made today, tomorrow, they're getting down to not just the 53-man rosters, but then figuring out practice squads as well. And that's where you'll see guys move from team to team, maybe get claimed by a different club and be put on a practice squad. And those squads are very important because a lot of those guys will end up on the active rosters as injuries mount. But certainly, that's how you play your way onto a roster as well. It's a paycheck, too. Garrett Wilson, he's the reigning offensive rookie of the year that I mentioned just seconds ago, and he can already tell you how Aaron Rodgers is helping him get better as a receiver.
He sees the game, you know, through a whole different lens, and that comes with the experience and just how smart he is on and off the field. So for me, it's been multiple ways that he's helped me. I mean, I sit next to him in the film room, and I'm able to, you know, to hear how he – you know, sees the game and what he kind of tells me, the little things he wants me to see so that I can, you know, just be more open for him. But I mean, as far as out on the field, it's just precision when he's throwing the ball. It's when it's in the meeting room, it's super detailed, which helps me be able to put it from the meeting room and take it out to the field and execute. And yeah, man, just having someone like that, you know, a future Hall of Famer that also is, you know, so willing to, you know, latch on to the young guys and like he has with us. I mean, it's been awesome for me to you know, have him around and be able to learn from him.
I don't think the Jets will be the last in the NFL to get a win, but I do know their first four games, actually six out of their first seven, are extremely tough. Listen to this. They opened with the Bills on 9/11. That's a Monday night game. Then they're on the road at the Dallas Cowboys, playoff team last year, double figure wins. Home to the Patriots. And you know how the Patriots, Bill Belichick has the Jets number. Then they host the Super Bowl champion Chiefs. on the road in Denver. I'm not telling you the Broncos are good, only that it's a tough place to play in the Mile High City. Then back home against the Eagles, followed by a game at the Giants. And by at the Giants, we mean MetLife, but the Giants will be the home team. Oh, that is rough. Only the Broncos and the Patriots in that stretch were not playoff teams. But if you consider the challenge with those two games, you know this is running the gauntlet early on.
It's totally fine.
The Pittsburgh Steelers want to return to the playoffs this year. They're hoping that Kenny Pickett, a smarter, wiser Kenny Pickett in year two, will be the ticket. Pickett is the ticket. Mike Tomlin loves the fact that he had so many reps as a rookie and that he's carrying that forward into year two.
Experience has taught me to anticipate it, and better than that, to cultivate it. And so, you know, we talk openly about it. During the course of team development, he and I met every morning to start a day. We talked about a variety of things, leadership, things that come with being him. I want to be a part of his growth and development. I'm not going to sit on the side and hope that it happens. It happens in the ways that we need it or want it to. And so we're intentionally constructing it.
We're not just watching it. We're cultivating it. We're not just monitoring it. We're actively growing it. I love Mike Tomlin. Welcome back, NFL. Mike Tomlin, the best quote in the game. In the AFC North, it's the Bengals division, right? But the Ravens, with their quarterback now inked and maybe a new commitment to spreading out the offense. The Steelers, who were 500 last year and have a better quarterback, a better leader. It's going to be interesting to see what the Browns do, too, with Deshaun Watson as their starter in week number one. All right, turning our attention to the NFC West. Kelly Stafford, she's got her own podcast, and I'm assuming that her husband has given her permission to talk about whatever it is that he's going through. She does that frequently. As he enters his 15th season, his third with the Rams, apparently it's almost like being in a foreign country with a young group of teammates.
He's like, the difference in the locker room has changed so significantly. And they have a lot of rookies on their team this year. They're very young. So this will be a very interesting season. You know, they're young, they're learning. But he's like, I feel like I can't connect. Because in the old days, you would come out of practice, you'd shower. This is during training camp. Shower. People would be playing cards. People would be interacting. Who knows what they're doing, you know? But they're doing something together. They're playing ping pong. They have a tournament going on, doing something. You know, like, they're at least talking. He said now they get done with practice or get done with meetings during training camp, and they go straight to their phones.
Cliff Kingsbury, he's the man for the job. Remember how when he took over the Cardinals his first year, he talked about giving his guys phone breaks every hour, 10 minutes to be on their phone every hour? Kelly Stafford goes on to say that her husband is struggling to make a connection with the rookies to the point where he's even carrying around a cheat sheet, if you will.
So Matthew was like, I don't even know how to, like, am I the dad? Do I take the phones? Like, what do I do here? I mean, and he's like, I want them to see me as like, not as like a, I don't know. He's like, as a coach, you know, he feels like they say like sir to him. It's like, no, we're on the same level here. We're both playing in this league. Like, let me get to know you. But he said it's so different and so hard to get to know these guys. He had a book printed out. He asked his equipment guys, right? Do you have a book printed of all the guys' faces and their names? Because he's like, I need to know their names. I feel like we don't ever talk. So now I'm going to find their names and I'm going to know. And I'm going to be like, hey, so-and-so, how was your weekend? Like, I'm going to, so that they know that I know them and maybe we should get to know each other. Like, so there's some chemistry on the field.
I highly recommend that Matthew Stafford ask Tom Brady how to do it, because Brady was into his 40s and a lot of guys that were younger would say to him, oh, I watched you growing up. You know, I watched you win Super Bowls. I mean, it's tough to connect, not just because you're in different stages of your career, but because you're an old dude in sports when you're into your mid-30s and on into your 40s. But Aaron Rodgers is figuring it out, so maybe he and Stafford can compare notes. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Jonathan Gannon, rookie head coach in Arizona, could be a struggle, especially since they don't have Kyler Murray and they don't have Colt McCoy anymore.
Just like with every decision, we look at
you know, the full body of work, evaluate our guys. Production goes into that, and felt like it was the best decision for the team to move forward with the guys that we have in the room to help us win a football game.
Okay, so in other words, we're not telling you why ultimately we cut Colt McCoy, but instead they're either going to start Josh Dobbs or Clayton Toon. Yeah, Arizona could be the last team to get a win in the NFL this season. My goodness. Anybody want to raise their hand for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? It is Baker Mayfield who beat out Kyle Trask for the starting job.
Hello.
Yeah, replacing Tom Brady. But how many times did Baker Mayfield tell us he's not going to be Tom Brady? Oh.
You suck.
Okay, Baker. But what about Kyle? What have you seen with him as you went through what was a pretty stiff competition?
I'll speak from my perspective, but I think Kyle would agree. The growth he's had since OTAs is tremendous. I think he's truly grasped this offense and found how to really run it. And so I think you saw the fun part about when you understand the offense, the passion and the energy, all that comes out. So you saw Kyle excited a couple times tonight, and that's always good to see. That means that he's playing free. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he's able to execute.
I know it's weird. I never thought I'd say it out loud. I'm rooting for Baker Mayfield this year. In fact, well, I don't root against teams. I don't root for teams or against teams, but I do root for individual players sometimes. And in the case of James Harden, I actually root against. It's very rare. I didn't like Johnny Manziel at all, and I'm not a huge fan of James Harden. I can't stand the antics. I can't stand the entitlement. But anyway, Baker Mayfield, I didn't ever root against him, but I just always kind of took him with a grain of salt. No, I'm all in on Baker. Baker's back, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, come back.
Oh, no, stop it. Then you're creepy. Just be a leader. Use your wisdom, your experience. Be humble, because you were humbled after the situation in Cleveland went horribly wrong. I mean, think about the last year of his career. He sat around, he waited. He was silent, actually. He figured out how to stay off social media. He was silent for a long time. Cleveland finally sent him to Carolina. He started the season opener for the Panthers last year. It did not last. He got replaced by Sam Darnold and I don't know whoever else, PJ Tucker. Then he ends up in LA. Now he's starting for the Bucs. This is it. This is Baker's second ride. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.